What you have here in your pages are four different Rambans on Parshas Tetzaveh. Parshas Tetzaveh, by the way, is an interesting Parsha in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted, as you know. It's the only Parsha from Shmos until the end of the Chumash where Moshe's name doesn't appear. And they used to have a minhag in the old country that on Parshas Tetzaveh they would have a special Shabbos in honor of the Chevra Shas. They used to have a Chevra Shas Mishnayis in every shtetl, in every community. And they used to dedicate, you know, in memory of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Zayin Adar is coming, that's the yahrzeit of Moshe, they would have a special Shabbos in honor of the Chevra Shas Mishnayis. These are the people who would dedicate themselves as much as they could to study Torah. So I think everyone who's here tonight certainly deserves to be part of that Chevra Shas Mishnayis. I don't know if you have any cake to serve there, but maybe we'll make it up on Shabbos if we can. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone this Shabbos, Amir Tzashem, not in virtual, but in real reality. I also want to take this opportunity to wish Mazel Tov to Omri Zeifman and the entire Zeifman Mishpacha. I happen to know, not the Kala, not yet, but I know the Kala's brother, Yehuda. You used to learn together quite a bit in the good old days. So let me just review with you in a very short synopsis what are the highlights of the Rambans that I gave you for tonight in Parashas Tetzaveh. There are many, many, many other Rambans that we're not going to touch upon. The first one, which you'll see on pages 1 and 2, is the Ramban about Big Day Kahuna, specifically about Lekavod Ulusif Ares. There's a piece here at the end of this Ramban, which is Al Derech Hamis, which means basically it's the Sod, it's the mystical concepts. I don't think we'll be able to study that tonight. The Ramban has a very big Chiddush, Lahalocha Lamaisa, about how to make Big Day Kahuna. We'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem. The second Ramban addresses the question of how the contributions reached the hands of the what's called the Osei HaMelacha, the craftsman. Did Moshe collect the donations and then he gave the money over to the craftsman to buy the materials? Or did the money go straight directly from the people into the hands of the craftsman? The third Ramban, which you'll see on page 3, is the Ramban about Urim V'Tumim. It's a long, tedious Ramban. I don't know if we're going to have time to go through every single word in this Ramban, but we'll see what we can cover. I have to share with you tonight, Amir Tzashem, a very interesting insight of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz based on this Ramban. And finally, the last Ramban, which is on the Psukim that end Parshas Tetzaveh, is to try to interpret the phrase L'shachni B'socham. And here I have some really interesting insights from the Sam Derech, Reb Simcha Zissel Breuder. So let's start from the top. The Pasuk says, at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, this is in Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Beis, it says, V'asisa v'gdei kodesh li aron achicha lechavod ulusif ares. And we're talking about two adjectives that describe the Big Day Kahuna. It's very difficult to translate those two words, lechavod ulusif ares, into any language, and certainly English language included. Kavod usually means either glory or majesty. Tiferes refers to also a kind of majesty, or we could say splendor. And Chazal say in many places that the Big Day Kahuna were astounding. A lot of work went into them. There's a tremendous amount of genius in the way Almighty God commanded to make these begadim in a very complex sort of system. The colors are very important. Where the begadim are worn, who wore them? Was it Big Day Hedjot or Big Day Kohen Gadol? And the topic of Big Day Kahuna is a gigantic one. The Ramban is going to focus on one particular dimension, and that's what I call the overlap or the interface between two different ksarim that our people, our nation was crowned with. One is the crown of Kahuna, of course, which is directly related to Big Day Kahuna and all of Parshas Tetzaveh. And the other is the crown of Malchus. Says the Ramban, Sheyie nichbad umefoar bimalbushim nichbadim umefoarim. That the Kohen Gadol in this case, because we're addressing Aaron, shall be dressed in a way that is nichbadim mefuarim, as we said before, glorious, full of splendor. And here the Ramban quotes, he invokes a pasuk in Yeshaya, which already gives him the beginning of the bridge between Kahuna and other areas, other concepts. Kemo sha'amar ha'kosuv kechason yechahen pe'er, that the word pe'er specifically refers to Kohen, and in this case it means that a Kohen should be dressed in a way that's pe'er, and that pe'er expresses itself in Big Day Kahuna. A chasan, a bridegroom at his wedding, should also be a reflection of pe'er. I know my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, was very makpid on this. You know, you'll see in a lot of chasanas that they take off the chasan's hat and they put on all sorts of silly kinds of hats on him. That's perfectly appropriate for next week, but has nothing to do with a chasan. A chasan is a kiyum of pe'er. And the famous statement of Chazal in Pirkei Rabbi Lezer regarding a chasan is a chasan domeh l'melech. So you can see where the Ramban is already leading us slowly but surely into the connection between a Kohen, because Yeshayahu HaNavi compares the chasan to the Kohen, and the melech, and the king. And it's going to specifically express itself in the begadim. And the begadim, therefore, the Kohen wears are, according to the Ramban, Big Day Malchus. Whether those are garments worn by kings at the time of the Torah, or perhaps even garments worn by kings in our time, in our day and age. And although, unfortunately, other religions have picked up on this, and today, you know, it's hard for us to relate to some of these begotten, like the Mitznefes, for example, without thinking of other religions, but we have to get back to the original source, the Jewish sources on this concept. And I say to you that if a chasan is doma lemelech, then you should know that a melech shemachal al kvodo, who knows what the halach is, ain kvodo machul. There's no mechila when it comes to malchus. Now, it could be that there are two dimensions of malchus. There's one which is tzibur dik. It means the melech represents the entire community, embodies the community. And there also might be the personal dignity and grandeur of a melech. Perhaps one could say, again, to justify those chassadim that make light of themselves, that maybe they feel that chassan domel melech is not in a tzibur sense, not to say that the chassan represents the community as a melech does, but rather it's his personal malchus, and therefore he could be mochel on his kavod. The emphasis on begadim goes way, way beyond the confines of our subject tonight, namely Big Day Kahuna, the way the Kohanim have to dress, and the very fact that Kohanim, like a king, like a melech, as the Ramban is going to say, have to dress in a very particular way, which represents both Kavod and Tiferes, that itself might be indicative of the significance that the Torah places on dress. We find very often, especially with regard to a Talmud Chacham, who's also compared to a Melech, that his form of dress is very important. There were yeshivot back in Lita, especially the Slabodka yeshiva, you've all heard of Slabodka, in which the emphasis on dress and the dress code for Talmidei Chachamim was high profile. It was up there in Slabodka. And my father used to talk about his father and my father's grandfather, how he viewed the Slabodka yeshiva man. They used to call him Slabodka yeshiva man, not a bacha, yeshiva man, like Superman. And they wore the top hats. Maybe you've seen the pictures of it. And not a speck on anything. You know, there are yeshivas today that kind of, you know, they aspire to reflect that kind of an attitude of spotless dress. And amongst the Talmidei Chachamim that I happen to have been zochet to rub shoulders with in my years, I find they fit into two categories. Some of them, they couldn't care less about the way they dress. Like all Gashmis, they have no relationship to this world. Their minds belong to a different olam. They're sort of just guests walking on this earth. But there are other Talmidei Chachamim to which dress becomes very, very critical. And the emphasis on kavod and tiferes is great, is absolutely a reflection of what we're seeing here in this pasuk, l'kavod ul'tiferes. I would even dare say that the dress that a person dresses in, and again, this is not stylistic to talk about today. Today they talk about dressing down, right? But in the old days, we used to dress up. Like Shimmy was saying, I should show up in a tux this weekend. But seriously, what it is that the way you dress is not only important in terms of the impact that you project on others, the image you project outwardly, but it also has an impact inwardly. And therefore, Talmid Chacham, sheyesh lo kesev al bigdo, is the Gemara says very strong words about him. And it's not just because the way the Talmud Chacham has to project his image, but also in terms of how he views himself. So his dress is an outward form, an expression of his inward self-esteem. And what is self-esteem and happiness if not feeling that I have what to contribute? A Talmud Chacham has to make a contribution, he has to make an impact. And therefore, with that sense of self-esteem, he dresses accordingly. So I say it works in two directions. It's not just outward, but it's also inward. I had a Rosh Yeshiva, some of you may have known him, he's no longer alive, his name is Rav Goldvit, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldvit. He's Rosh Yeshiva of what? Nobody knows? Of Karen Biavna. No, nobody here learned the Karen Biavna in that time? Okay. Alright. Anyway, if you knew him, he was L'Kavod L'Tiferes personified. I mean, when he walked into a room, the whole mood changed, you know, because of the way he carried himself. And the mitzvah of Kedushas Kuhuna, once again, is a twofold mitzvah. It has something to do with the way the Kohen sees himself and how he portrays himself to others. The Kidashto is a separate mitzvah incumbent upon Klal Yisrael to give first ranks to the Kohen. And that is because of the special Kedushas Kuhuna. So whenever you see the concept of Kedusha of sanctity, you know that it's going to express itself in the way the person dresses and appears. In his dress, L'Kavod L'Tiferes, whether it's Malchus, whether it's Kahuna, whether it's Kesed Torah. And those are the three Ksarim that God crowned us with. And the Ramban says, Ki Eile Habgadim Levushe Malchus Heim. The Big Day Kahuna are the garments worn by royalty. Kidmusam Yilbishu Amalachim Bizman Torah. Some of the Malbushim, which are ordained for the Kohanim and express Malchus, reflect Malchus, were actually, shall I say, indicative or popular at the time of the giving of the Torah, and that's the way Malachim would dress. Kimo, for example, Shematzinu Bakutones. Right, the word kutones, which is in reference to one of the big day kahuna, and the Ramban is going to have a discussion soon whether or not the kutones was visible on the outside or not, is the same kutones that we find by Yosef, where it says that Vatsinu bakutones vi asalok sonis pasim. So the Ramban identifies the ketones of Yosef with the ketones of the Kohen, sheperusho mirukemes. Mirukemes is a kind of weaving. Bidmus pasim. And what does this mean? It was embroidered with patterns of pasim. Pasim are lines. They are stripes. Vehi ketones tashbeis. We'll see later on in Pasuk Dalid, that Ketonis is made Tashbeitz. And the Ramban identifies Tashbeitz with Mirukemes, Rikum. Rikum means embroidered. Vilbisho and Yaakov dressed up Yosef Kiben Malche Kedem. And we've discussed on more than one occasion Yaakov's choice of Yosef amongst the brothers to be his disciple and to pass on, transmit all the Torah to Yosef. So Yosef represents the kavod of Malchus, because he was chosen, and we'll have a Melech ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef. This all ties in to the ketones. But the Ramban says, v'chein aderech b'me'il. This also applies to the robe that was around the ketones, worn by the Kohen. The kosev in the Torah says, in this the Tanakh says in Shmuel, V'aleha, this is referring to David Abel's daughter, V'aleha kisones pasim, kichein tilbashna benos ha-melech ha-psulus me'ilim. In other words, on top of the ketones, she wore a me'il, and that was the dress of the daughters, the unmarried daughters of the king. And what does it mean that on top of the ketones, she wore a me'il? Perusho ki aleha ksones pasim nireis v'nigles. It's interesting that the Ramban says that since it was only a robe, which didn't completely cover the garment below it, therefore the ksones was visible. Haminog, it was the practice in those times, lilbosh binos hamelech habsulos me'ilim shetisalafna, that would cover Bahem, cover their bodies. V'nimta sheksones hapasim olea malbush elyon, so that the ksones was not an inner garment that could not be seen, but rather it was an outer garment. L'chein Omar, and he has a proof also from the same parasha in Shmuel, uksones hapasim shar olea kara'a. So we have now the ksones, and we have the me'il. We go on to the mitznefes. The Ramban is very consistent. V'amitznefes yidua gamayom l'malachim l'sarim agdolim. The mitznefes is not just worn at the time by malach, by kings at the time of the Torah, but even today. V'lachein omar akosuv b'nefol hamalchus. Okay, this is referring to the malchus of Yehuda in Sefer Yechezkel. Hasir amitznefes v'harim. Which means, take off the mitznefes, the turban, the hat, the arim, and lift off the atar. The atar means the crown. And also on Friday night we say tznif melucha, which is a pasuk in Tanakh, and there too the tznif is related. The tznif, which is another form, a conjugated form of mitznefes, is related to melucha, to malchus. V'chein yikra'em ha-kosuv pa'amei ha-migba'os, pa'arei ha-migba'os, and there too, it's referring to the hats of the Kohanim, the turbans of the Kohanim, uksiv pa'arei pishtim yu al rosham, and also referring to Malchus in Sefer Yechezkel, shein pe'er v'shevach ha-machtirim bohem. Then he says, va'efod v'achoshen levush Malchus. that which was worn by the Kohen Gadol on his breast, the breastplate and the ephod, that was also Levush Malchus, and he quotes the Pasuk Daniel, Kein Shekosev Vamenicha Didahava Al Tzavarech. And this Hamnicha was some sort of an adornment that was worn around one's neck at the time of Malchus. Vatzitz, and what about the tzitz which is also worn by the Kohen Gadol? Nezer HaMalachim Hu Uksiv Yatzitz Nizro. So basically that's also a crown that adorns the head of a king. Then the Ramban goes on to say that the colors that we use to make the Big Day Kahuna, those likewise are reminiscent and reflective of Malchus. He speaks about Zohav, Argamon, Uscheles. And we're not going to go through all of this. What I'd like you to do at this point is to skip a little bit. And you'll see a paragraph on the top of page 2 that begins with Al Derech HaEmes. The Ramban speaks about Kavod and Tifares based on mystical ideas. His most important pasuk is Oz v'Tiferes Migdasho. Tiferes refers to Klal Yisrael, apparently, because the Migdash and anything related to the Migdash is the Tiferes of Klal Yisrael. And the Oz is a reflection of Kavod, and somehow those two dimensions integrate together to form an entity called the Kavod Usiferes. It's also fascinating to me that the Netziv Mivaloshin on the Haggadah Shel Pesach claims that the reason we wear a kittel on Leil HaPesach is because at the time of the Migdash, every Jew on Leil HaPesach was like a melech because he ate from the Karban Pesach. And with regard to Achilas Kodshim, there's a separate halacha of the Kavod Sefares, that we eat Kodshim in a manner that's reflective of Kavod and Sefares. There were special begadim that they wore when they ate Kodshim, and all of Klal Yisrael wore that on Leil HaSeder. Our kittel, according to the Netziv, is a reflection, a memory of that mitzvah of eating Kodshim. So we see that whenever a person is in a very elevated status, he expresses that in the way he dresses. In the next paragraph, the Ramban says something amazing, and he's been taken to task on this over and over and over again. He says, "V'hayu abgadim tzrichin asiya lishman." That means when the bgadim were created, they had to be created lishman. And we have such halachas, for example, in Ksiva, like in Sefer Torah, we have halach of lishma, we have halach in Tviyas Tzitzis of lishma, we have halach in Shechitas Kodshim lishma, and the Ramban takes that halach of lishma and he applies it to the Asiyah of Big Day Kohanim, without quoting any source. If you take a look in footnote number 5, the Hadre Kodesh tells you to look in the Hashlomos, which again, as soon as I get my scan back working, God willing, I would scan you this. And basically in Hashlomos, he collects together a number of sources that criticize, that critique the Ramban for requiring Asir Lishma in Big Day Kahuna, because the Minchas Chinuch argues that the Rambam nowhere mentions Asiyah Lishma in Big Day Kahuna. And on the contrary, he has it in Ilchus Tzitzis. He has it in the first parak of Beis HaBechir with regard to Asiyas Kelim. The Klei HaMikdash has to be made, the Rambam says, L'shem Kodesh. But when he gets to Big Day Kahuna, mum's the word. He doesn't say a word about Lishma. Not only that, the Minchas Chinuch argues that even if I grant you that if the begadim were made for purposes of hejot, that means for for apparel for anybody other than a Kohen, that might be a psul, that might invalidate those begadim. However, he says that's because it's l'shem hejot. Okay, so this is a lumdisha issue here. There are different categories. There's something which requires lishma, and there's something which doesn't require lishma, but if it was done for the purpose of something else, which is antithetical, that disqualifies it. So the Menchaskinah claims that if there is any sort of din or requirement of intention in making Big Day Kuna, it's only a psul, not a lack of lishma, but it's a psul of l'shem hejot. If it was made for a secular purpose, then it cannot be converted to Big Day Kahuna. But let's say, for example, you would instruct a katan to make Big Day Kahuna, and a katan is not capable of kavana lishma. You may have a sugi of godol omen al-gab, but I don't want to get into that. So even though he's not capable of asiyah lishma, it's not called l'shem hejot. So I think, if I understand correctly, the Menchaskinuch would accept such begadim as re'uyim le'bigdei kahuna. But the Ramban says you need asiyah lishma. Fine. Okay, there's a whole bunch of discussions here, but I just want to point out one important point. And that is, take a look at the next phrase in the Ramban, the next four words. He writes, v'tochen. See, about asiyah lishma, he's convinced. But v'tochen, he's not convinced. But perhaps sheyu tzrichim kavana. Now, what is going on here in this Ramban? There's no equation here between lishma and kavana. And that I know because the Ramban says that they need lishma, but he's not sure. He vacillates if they need kavana. So what is kavana? What does the Ramban mean by kavana? And how is it different than lishma? So if you look at the next phrase in the Ramban, to elucidate what he means by kavana, he quotes the pasuk that says, V'ata tidaber el kol chachme lev, asher mileisiv ruach chachma. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to speak and to instruct the people, and we'll get back to that word people in a second, to create the Big Day Kahuna, who are these people? And how do you describe them? They are Chachme Lev, full of Ruach Chachma. And the Ramban himself, not here but later on, says that Ruach Chachma, for Chachme Lev, requires an understanding of the entire cosmological structure of the universe. How our actions impact on the worlds above. Which is basically what's called in mysticism the spheros, the world of spheros. Now, watch this. If the Ramban says that perhaps the creation of the Big Day Kahuna requires kavana, and he quotes the pasuk Chachmei Lev Asher Mileisim Ruach Chachma, then what does kavana really mean? It's some sort of deeper understanding of what the Big Day Kahuna are and what they accomplish in those worlds, those unseen worlds of the spheros, which is the previous paragraph of the Ramban. Meaning, now I understand the contiguity between the previous paragraph that addresses what are the Big Day Kahuna, Kavod, Sephoros, what elements of divinity do they represent, how do these two attributes interface, and now he says that maybe you have to know exactly what I said here in the Sod in order to create Big Day Kahuna. Because if not, then you're not Chachmei Lev Asher Mileisiv Ruach Chachma. Yeah, what are you saying? What are you saying, John?
The Gemara talks about the Kohen Gadol having the Big Day being woven by his mother, right?
I'm not sure where you're taking us. Go ahead.
So I'm just trying to
Okay, so that's where, Joe, I want to lead you. I want to answer two questions. Number one, the Ramban's Asiyah Lishma. Where is it? It's not in the Rambam. We don't find it in Shas. What's the source for it? And the Minchas Tinuch's critique. Question number two, what's the difference between Asiyah Lishma and Kavana? Both concepts which the Ramban conveys in one breath. So I think what we have to say here, and if you'll take a look in footnote number 5 of the Hadrei Kodesh, he says it in a very short form, expands upon it in Ashlomos. What we're talking about is the mitzvah of Bigdei Kahuna, not as it's formulated in the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira for all generations, but rather the mitzvah as it was given one shot, one time shot, to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. We know that there are many, many unique halachos and requirements that apply to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, when the Ramban is talking here about the requirements of Bigdei Kahuna, he's not entering into some sort of lamdisha halachic discussion of what are the dinim of Bigdei Kahuna in terms of Asiyah Lishma. That's not what he's addressing. What he's addressing is, what did God command Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of the Bigdei Kahuna that Aaron HaKohen would wear during his tenure as the Kohen Gadol in the Midbar? And the proof of the pudding is that the Ramban is talking about the Chachmei Lev, Asher Milesiv Ruach Chachma. We don't have Chachmei Lev today. We don't have Ruach Chachma. We don't have the insights and the intentions that the Ramban would require here in this pasuk of Kavana. The answer is, the Ramban vacillates. What was the level of Kavana that was required for Bigdei Kahuna in the Midbar? Was it just simply Kavana to create Bigdei Kahuna so the Kohen Gadol would be able to serve? Or was it also an additional level of intention that required a mental focus on all the glorious purposes and achievements and impacts of the Bigdei Kahuna? All right, now I'd like you to skip to page 3, and we're going on to the Ramban about Urim V'Tumim. Do we have that? And the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, and you rarely see the Ramban use such harsh language against the Ibn Ezra. He dismisses him entirely, with one flick of the wrist. He says, "Sava Rabbi Avram." Just 1 second. Where is it on your page? Yeah, you see it there? On your page, it's like the 4th line from the top. Sava Rabbi Avram lishakim beinyan urvitumim. I think he's using the word lishakim in a very facetious kind of way. Meaning, he thinks what we call in Yiddish an imre chacham. I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase achacham from the Manish Tana. You're familiar with that phrase? Anyway, he says, Ve'amash ki heim maisa uman kesef mizahav. The Ibn Ezra identifies the Urim V'Tumim as the product of the craftsmen who know how to work with gold and silver. Ve'herich bin yonam. And he writes a whole treatise. Ki chashev, because he, the Ibn Ezra, thought shehem, that these craftsmen are making Urim V'Tumim. What's Urim V'Tumim? Tsuros sheyasu balei hakochavim. He's talking about the astrologers, my friends, that used to create some sort of images. L'adas machsheves hashoel. It's kind of like in our society, what do you call it? When you go to a... what are they read those things. What are they called? What?
Ouija board.
No, those glass things. What are they look into the... Yeah, the crystal balls. You know, we talk about crystal balls or palm readers. Gosh, God knows what. So Ibn Ezra identifies the work of the craftsman in the Urim and Tumim in order to answer questions with those tsuros, the images that astrologers look at and they contemplate in order to come up with an answer to the question of the Shoel. The lo amar klum. Yeah, the Rambam doesn't even give the man the decency of telling him why he didn't say anything. And golish gezakt. You know, lo amar klum. Because I'll tell you why. Because the Rambam laughed at it. I don't want anyone walking out of here thinking that the Rambam didn't have a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for the Ibn Ezra. He did. Now how much of a lob to the Ibn Ezra was, I don't know. Don't ask me, because I don't know the answer to that question. There are a couple of so-called Rishonim that we don't know exactly what they knew and what they didn't know. But this is total amaratzis. And the Ramban is not even going to bother wasting any ink on destroying the Shita of the Ibn Ezra. And, you know, Chas v'Shalom, to equate the Urim and Tumim with the images of the astrologers. But rather, Avolheim Kedivei Rabbeinu Shlomo, a nice plug for Rashi here, Ksav, how do you translate the word Ksav? You know, when you write something on parchment, what word can you use for that? A script. Right? Avolheim Ksav, Shem HaMeforosh, right? The holy name of God is written on this Ksav. Nosun ben Kifle Achoshen, and they were placed, in other words, the Choshen itself, the breastplate was folded over in such ways that you could stoop into them this Ksav that had on it the Shem HaMeforosh. That's why the choshed was folded. And then the Ramban shows exactly how he knows this whole business. But again, because we're pressed for time, I would like to skip. Can you find the paragraph that starts? Just 1 second. I think it's on the bottom of page. Just 1 second. Give me a second. Bottom of page 3. Ki lo hoya masa uman. Do you have that? Ki lo hoya masa uman. V'lo hoya lo umnin v'lo lakal yisro ben maisa v'lo nedova klal. The Urim and Tumim was not the product of any sort of craftsmanship. But what was the Urim and Tumim? Avolheim sowed Moshe l'Moshe v'pi ha'gvura. Nobody except Moshe Rabbeinu understood what the Urim and Tumim was all about. It was a secret that was given over to Moshe. V'hu ksavam b'kedusha. And he wrote down on this Ksav, the name of Hashem, in holiness. Alternatively, the Ramban is not sure. Oh, Hayamasa Shamayim. It was a work of God. God actually wrote these Urim and Tumim. Ulekach yazkirem stam ubiyidiyah k'mo v'yashkem mikedem l'gan eden esakruvim. And now, the Ramban addresses the question as to when the Urim and Tumim were actually placed into the Choshen, and the Ramban claims that it was after they dressed the Kohen Gadol in the other begadim, and then we get to the paragraph that starts Ve'ha'inyan Hu, which is on the bottom of your page 3. He says Ve'ha'inyan Hu. How did the Urim and Tumim work? Ki hayu shemos kedoshim. So these names of God, holy names of God, mikocham, they gave powers. Ya'iru ha'osios, to light up the letters, me'avnei achoshen, right, on the choshen, on the breastplate, there were letters that were written on stone, and these were the names of the Shvatim, and with the power of the Shemos HaKadoshim, different letters would light up. El Enei HaKohen HaShol B'Mishpatam. In front of the eyes of the Kohen, he was asking for an answer to questions. It's called Mishpat.
Sorry, Rob, can I ask you for a second? Just a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're saying, I'm sorry, just for clarification, are you saying that the whole thing wasn't a Maser Lumen?
Right. In other words, the Ur V'Tumim is not a kli. It's not an object that was formed out of gold or silver or any other material. The Ur V'Tumim are the names of God that were placed in the Choshen, and they empowered the stones on the ephod to light up. And we'll soon see that the system was that the way the letters lit up was the way that God communicated words and sentences to the Kohen.
Okay, what's he talking about? I mean, the Choshen was the breastplate itself, which was made out of, I don't know, Tchelis HaGomon, and it had the stones on it. So he's saying, it was a script, like you said. It was. What does he mean by that? That it wasn't a Masa Uma? What? A sofer didn't win it, really?
Oh, no, Masa Uma means a craftsman, not a sofer. It means.
But I'm saying, what does he mean by that? Kiloi or Masa Uma? It's a script. It's a scripted piece of.
Right, it's not crafted. Craft, it's not Maisa Uman in the sense that it's not silver and gold. It's not a kli the way all the other kalim are. Okay? Now, here the Ramban gives us a mashal. Rabosa, I'm really pressed for time, so we have a lot to do. Let me try that, because I spent a little bit too much time on the Big Day Kuna. But let's see if we can make up for it. It's not a lost cause, okay? He says for Mashal, he gives the following example. Ki kasher shalu, they asked the question, this is after Yoshua died, Mi alelano el haknani v'tchilo lilochem, which shevet should go up first to be chalutzim in the battle for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael? Hoya kohen mechavein B'shemos Shehema Urim. The Shemos are called the Urim. Okay, the Shemos on the script. And Urim means because they will light up the stones. And then we'll see what the word Tumim means in just a second. They eerily ate of Osios Yehuda. And the answer came in the form of the name Yehuda. How so? Yud mi Levi, Ayin mi Shimon. Ayin meaning, you know, the number, the letter Ayin. And Lamed mi Levi. And Hevi Avram. Now, the Ramban now is suggesting that the name Avram was also on the Ephod. Okay? Well, we will have to see if the Ramban is going to backtrack on that soon. And this sequence of letters makes up the word Yehuda. And then he says, "Oh, heira pam acheres the negev vahem Yehuda." He says maybe Avram was not written on the breastplate, but rather there was a sequence in which the hay of Yehuda lit up twice, so that we knew that it was a second. There was a second hay. The for the word Yehuda has two hays in it. And the Ramban says, "V'hinei kasher osios meiros el enei haKohen adayin lo yeda siduron." He didn't see the names, the letters Yehuda in sequence. Ki mina osios asher sidru mehem Yehuda yale hoy efshal yosus mehem hoy hey doleha o hey al Yehuda, and all these have different meanings to them, not very positive. The Kevel Sacheris Rabbis Moded, you could arrange the letters in a myriad of different fashions. For example, if you take a look, Hey Al Yehuda, Hey is usually when you cry out, so they're wailing upon you. That's not very positive. Aval Hayu Shom Shmos HaKodesh Acherim Nikron Tumim. So in addition to the Urim, there were also Tumim. Urim got us the lights, and they lit up the letters, and then Tumim was a power given to the Kohen to arrange the letters in the proper fashion. Mikocham, as a result of the Tumim, Yalev HaKohen Tumim Biadias Inyan HaOsios Shehi Iru Lienov. So the Kohen, by focusing on the Tumim, was able through the power of the Tumim to perfectly arrange the letters in a way that he could get the message correct. Ki kasher kivein b'shemos ha'urim he'iru chozer miyad machave b'shemos ha'tumim. So first he concentrated on the names that were written in the Urim, and then he concentrated on the names that were written in the Tumim. Immediately, the Odom Osios Miris Leinov, while the letters were still lit up, the Yavo Belibo, as a result of this, like Ruach HaKodesh, he was able, Chivram Yehudi Yalat, to combine the letters in the right way. Vizos Madrego Mi Madregos Ruach HaKodesh. It's not Nevuah, but it's something, let's say, close. It approximates Nevuah. He Lamata Mina Nevuah, but Lamaila Mi Baskol. It's above the level of a heavenly call that comes from Shabbai Shishtam Shabbat by Shady, Liakhshah Poskin, Poskin, Urim, Vitumim. So by Shady, the Gemara says that Yuma did not have the Urim Vitumim, so they only had a Bas call. A Bas call did not give specific answers to specific questions, it was much more general. What the Urim V'Tumim was able to do is tell us exactly whether we should go out to war, how we should do war. It was very, very specific. It was almost like Nevuah, but it required Ruach HaKodesh instead of Nevuah. The Efsha says the Ramban, She'achrei she'nosev Moshe b'chol shein Hashem ha'sakdosh shel Urim V'Tumim, ha'yu no'adim b'mesores mimenu l'gdolei chach b'Yisrael she'mosev lehem im sisrei ha'Torah. It's possible, says the Ramban, that even after Moshe Rabbeinu died, he bequeathed to the outstanding scholars and sages of Yisrael a mesira of one of these secrets about how to create the Shemos that would function to give us answers to our questions. And based on that, the Ramban explains how David, ulefichach chayav biyad David Ephod, V'haya kidmus eifod Moshe bo choshen kidmus choshen hakodesh, and therefore there was ability even in generations later to create some sort of a replacement of the original Urim V'Tumim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now here you may see in the footnotes that he sends you to the Hashlamos. And here I want to tell you something in the name of first the Vilna Gaon and then Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. The Ramban is going to give us an ability to understand the story in Tanakh of Chana and Eli HaKohen. You remember that Chana was childless, and she came to Eli HaKohen. She was praying, and Eli HaKohen accused her of being drunk. Vatan Chana v'tomer, lo Adoni eishes kshas ruach anoch v'yayim v'sheichel lo shasisi. So Rashi says, lo Adoni, you're wrong about me, but rather kisara, my situation is like that of mother Sarah, who is childless. And if I came to pour out my heart in front of at the Mishkan of Shiloh, in front of Almighty God. And the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph, says on the pasuk, Lo Adoni, Lo Adon Atah B'Dover Hazeh, you're not performing as a master. V'lo Shechina Shora Alecha V'lo Ruach HaKodesh Ika Gabach. Shedantani L'Kaf Chova V'lo Dantani L'Kaf Schus. So the Gemara says that Chana told Eli HaKodesh, he has no Ruach HaKodesh at this moment. And therefore you judge me, instead of judging me favorably, you accuse me of being a Shikora. So the Gaon asks the question, everybody has to judge other people favorably. Avidanis Chaver L'Kaf Schus, that's a universal principle. What has it got to do with Ruach HaKodesh? And the Gaon quotes this Ramban, Al HaTorah, to explain that even though you can get an answer to a question from the Urim V'Tumim, but you need Ruach HaKodesh to interpret the answer that you get. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma that when she came to pray, Eli HaKohen saw four letters that lit up in the Urim V'Tumim. And they were He, Chaf, Shin, Resh. And he arranged them in the order of Shin, Chaf, Resh, He, which means Shikora. And therefore the pasuk says, Vayechshevea Eli l'Shikora. But in truth, that wasn't what the Urim V'Tumim was conveying to him. The letters He, Chaf, Shin, Resh should be organized, arranged in a different way, Ki, Sara. I, meaning Chana, like Sara, I'm coming to pour out my heart, Isha Kshas Ruach, because an Akara Mispaleles, Al Bonea, Ki, Sara, Imenu. So at that moment in time, Eli HaKohen did not have the Ruach HaKodesh that he needed to interpret the letters and arrange them in the proper form. Ad Kan Hagon, the Vilna Gaon. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks the question, why didn't Eli HaKohen have Ruach HaKodesh? Why couldn't he successfully interpret the answer that was being conveyed to him in these four letters by the Urim V'Tumim? Says Reb Chaim that in order to appreciate that, you have to understand, what does it mean, Urim V'Tumim? And he quotes a Yalkut Shimoni. Omar Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, Halev Shesomach Begduas Achiv Yilbash Urim V'Tumim. Which lev is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai referring to? Shesomach Begduas Achiv Aaron HaKohen. In other words, when Moshe was chosen to be the Savior, the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael, and of course Aaron was older than Moshe by 3 years, and yet he didn't feel any jealousy, v'somach b'libo, so the pasuk says, v'nasata al choshein ha-mishpat es urim v'satumim v'hoyu alev Aaron. The lev that was Sameach on behalf of his brother Moshe, that's the lev that deserves the Urim V'Tumim. That's the Medrash in the Yalkut in Parashat Shmos. Says Reb Chaim, what kind of lev is worthy of hosting the Urim V'Tumim? Lev Rachav Hamachil b'kirbo mida elyona shel simcha b'simcha zuloso. Only a very wide, broad heart that can identify with the feelings, in this case the joy and the pleasure of another person. That's the appropriate place for the Urim V'Tumim. Why? Says Reb Chaim, ki lev zeh, such a heart that can identify and feel the simcha of a brother, misugal argish et libo shel kolechet veechet miYisrael, his lave is wide enough to feel the emotions and identify and empathize with every single member of Klal Yisrael. Ves lev kulam yachad. Says Rav Chaim, b'chdeishet tekabel tshuva nechon al yidei urim v'tumim. The prerequisite for getting the right answer, for getting the ruach hakodesh of urim v'tumim, tzarech lev sheyavin v'yargish es hashoel v'es sheiloso. If you don't feel, if you don't identify with the one who's asking the question, because your lave, your heart is not broad enough, you don't have the empathy, then you don't have the ability to house the Urim V'Tumim and then function through Ruach HaKodesh to understand the message of the Urim V'Tumim. Says Rav Chaim, V'chein matzinu sheshal Eli HaKoin odos chan of Urim V'Tumim v'haya savur. Eli mistakenly thought ki atshuva hi shikara v'amar lo chana lo adoni. You are not reading this pair properly because you don't have the ruach hakodesh. Lo adona tovid dover zeh ki akavona hi kisara shelo hirgish Eli belibo es tzarasa v'tzar. This mar nafsha and the bitterness of Chana, al kain says Reb Chaim, lo potar nechona es divrei Hashem biurim v'tumim. And my friends, al pidrush, if you'll give me a little license, I would say the following: that this lesson goes way beyond the urim v'tumim. You know, sometimes you come to a posek and you ask him a question, and he's got this, you know, he presses a button in the computer and he gives you, you know, like a pre-prepared answer. You know what I'm saying? That's not, in my opinion, again, it's just one man's opinion. I don't think that's what it's all about. What it's about is for the person who receives the question to feel, to identify with the person who's asking the question. Lahagish es lev hashoel. That's what Ruach HaKodesh is about. That's the lev of Aaron. That's the lev that's going to be the home, the abode of the Urim V'Tumim and the Ruach HaKodesh. And this gives us a lesson in terms of how, you know, like Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, felt for Aaron. He felt for all Klal Yisrael, and Aaron felt for Moshe. And that's why we say, Chazal say, Matov Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachin. Who's the Achim? He's Moshe V'Aaron. Because Moshe V'Aaron represent the paradigm of brotherhood. And brotherhood here in this context doesn't mean necessarily just blood brothers, but brotherhood means a sense of unity, which a mitzvah I want to talk about on Shabbos if I get a chance. But right now we want to look at the last Ramban for today because we're running really low on time. And I ask you to turn to pages 4 and 5, which is Chav Tes Mem Vav. We're now at the almost at the end of the main part of Parshas Tetzaveh, and the Torah says, "V'shachanti b'sof bnei Yisrael va'yisi lachem elokim." So the whole, you know, now Moshe Rabbeinu is in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is summing up the entire purpose and goal of the Mishkan. V'shachanti b'sofcham v'yodu ki ani Hashem elokeichem asher otzeisi. Osame Eretz Mitzrayim l'shachni b'socham ani Hashem Elokeichem. Says Rashi, what's l'shachni b'socham? The Ramban quotes Rashi. Al menas lishkon b'socham. Meaning it's not enough that I give you this great chesed of taking you out of Mitzrayim, freeing you from slavery, but in addition to that, I want to give you an even greater gift, perhaps. And that's l'shachni b'socham, that I will rest my divine presence with you. I will abide with you. Says Rashi, al menas lishkon b'socham and the Ramban doesn't like it. He says, "V'shimush halamid b'tnai kaze eino nimtza." We don't find, he says, that the lamid, the prefix lamid, is used for a tnai, for a condition. And Rashi is using the word, the lamid of l'shochni b'solcham, as an almanas, as a tnai. I mean, all the mefarshim here on Rashi defend Rashi, because Rashi doesn't mean what the Ramban says he means. He doesn't mean a condition that, you know, I'll take you out of Egypt if l'shochni b'solcham, if they'll build a mishkan. No. What Rashi means was almanas, so that, in addition to the great gift of chesed, of kindness, of taking you out of Egypt, I also give you another gift. But let's look at the Ramban's interpretation. V'tochen, and he used the word v'tochen because at the end he's not going to accept this, but v'tochen sheyomar v'yodu b'shochni b'solchem ki ani Hashem l'kech l'shat tzitzio som eretz Mitzrayim. Wow, this is unbelievable. The Ramban is saying that l'shochni b'solchem means that through the Mishkan, and through the fact that God will rest His Shechina amongst the people of Israel, they will now appreciate the divine role in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's almost like Yigloi Milsal Mafreya, as if to say that maybe the Jews, when they left Mitzrayim, they knew, obviously, they saw the Yad HaGadol, Yad HaGdol of Hashem, but they didn't totally appreciate Almighty God's power and glory in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, if it were up to me, based on this Ramban, I would add a whole new paragraph to the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Meaning, if we want to appreciate God's role in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to understand the Mishkan, L'shachni B'Sochom. So I think we should add another piece here. Again, I don't mean that literally, but although today that seems to be quite a style, that you write out God and you add whatever you want to add. I don't know, that's it. I know a few examples of that, but we're not going to mention it here. Ki yedu kvodri aminu shani otzisi osom etzrayim. My hair stands on end when I see this Ramban. He says, so that now they will know and they will believe that it is I, God, who brought them out of Mitzrayim. I don't think the Ramban means that until now they thought, you know, how did they think they got out of Mitzrayim? But they needed a certain chizuk. Maybe the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not a personal one. It was part of the klal. You know, there were nisim and it flows to the entire nation of Israel. But it wasn't God doing something for me personally. So my belief in God on a personal, intimate level didn't reach its fruition. But Mishkan is a personal experience where a Jew enters into the Mishkan and he senses that he's in the Beis Hashem, he's in front of the Shekhinah. That intimate, maybe it's a contemplative relationship between Hashem. I sit and I meditate in the Mishkan, and then I realize that God not only took the people out of Mitzrayim, He took me personally. Chayav Adam Liro says, Atmo kilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim. But then the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra. That itself is not surprising, but what's surprising is that he actually agrees with the Ibn Ezra. He says, Aval Rabbi Avram Amar, Lo hotzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim rak ba'avur sheshkon shchinasi b'tocham. The Torah is now telling us, revealing to us what the ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Ba'avur. This is what you call ontological. You know, this is the reason that we are free, is so that Hashem should be shochein ishchino b'sochom. And the Ibn Ezra illustrates this by quoting the pasuk in the snare. Hashem said back in the snare to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tavdunas elokim al har hazeh, that the ultimate goal and purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is in order to be Shochein Shechina in Klal Yisrael. And based on this Ibn Ezra, the Ramban gets so excited about the Ibn Ezra that he says the following. He says, V'im kein yesh be'inyon sod gadol. Okay, usually when we see that phrase, sod gadol, we right away close the Ramban. But here, he says, K'fi pshat ha-davar, ha-shechina b'Yisrael shora, I'm sorry, ha-shechina b'Yisrael tzorech hejot, v'lo tzorech kevoah. the goal and the purpose of Hashras Hashchina is for the benefit of whom? God doesn't need it. God doesn't need anything. He's perfect. But it's for man's benefit. That's called Tzarech Hejo. That would have been pshat, based on our belief in the perfection of Almighty God. Aval, and I would emphasize, underline that word aval, aval means that that's not correct. Al pisod, we have something called Tzarech Gavoa. Because keep in mind that the pasuk is saying, I'm not taking you out of Mitzrayim because I want to take you out of Mitzrayim. You deserve to be taken. I want to redeem you. I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim so that I can reside in your midst. That, if you accept the Reb Ezra, which the Ramban is accepting, that means that the Mishkan is Tzorech Gavoa. And the Ramban illustrates this with a whole list of psukim. Inyan Kamosh Ramar HaKasuv, Yisrael Asher Becha Espa'er. Espa'er means I will be glorified. V'yamar Yoshua, Matasek L'shimcha Gadol, what can we do for you, for your great name? Upsukim Rabin Bok Hank Kain. Many, many psukim indicate that this is Tzorech Gavoa. Evil Emoshev Lo, he with the capital H desired a dwelling place. Po Eshev Ki Evisiha, this is all referring to Eretz Yisrael, because of Eretz Yisrael. So, in the Sefer Sam Derech, you know, he tries to make some sense out of this because it's so antithetical to everything we believe in. And the Ramban himself, all over his Pirush al Torah, constantly conveys the message that the purpose of the mitzvos is for our benefit. For example, the Ramban in Shiluach HaKan, we once saw this in Dvarim Chavei, says, Eina toelis b'mitzvos la'kodesh baruch hu bi'atzmo, ama toelis li'odam, limno mimenu nezek, emuna ra, mida meguna. Everything is for the benefit of man. Right? Lo nasa to Hashem es torel l'tzarif benes abrios. How can we possibly maintain this concept of l'tzarech kavoa? So Joe, you would say I should have devoted the whole shiur to this tonight. And here it is, and it's 9:40, and everybody's falling apart here, and I'm telling you that there's something called the Tzorek Avah. So I guess I have to apologize, but, you know, I can't just leave you like that, you know, to walk out of here believing Tzorek Avah, and then figure out what's going on here, because this undermines everything we know about Almighty God and His perfection. So, with that, you know, again, there's an hour discussion here which we don't have time for, but I'll just tell you what we call Kutzo Shel Yud, you know, the Al Regel Achas. What I think is going on here is that, and some of you may have learned a little Gemara Kedusha with me down south last year, and the Gemara says that although in Kedusha a man has to give money to a woman to be Makadishar, but there is a scenario where a woman gives money to a man and she's Makudesha. So that's called Badam Chashuv. So what it means is that sometimes, you know, I can ask you to give money to someone else and it's as if I got that money. Like, for example, the Gemara says, Tein mana l'plonim Makudesha mi dinarev, that she could say to him, give the money to so and so. What I'm trying to suggest is that there seems to be a method here by which Almighty God says to man, Ki'ilu iskabalti. It's as if you gave me something. So all the psukim in which God says, man, do this for me, so to speak. Fulfill my will. Give me something. Like, for example, the pasuk Tnu Oz Elokim. You know, what does it mean? What are we giving God? I mean, God doesn't need anything from us. We can't add to Him or give Him anything. But God, in His chesed, says to man, if you acknowledge me, If you fulfill my will, if you praise me and sing Shiros V'Tishbachos Lefanai, if you will dedicate yourself and devote yourself to fulfill my will, then I am glorified. You have Ki'ilu Kaviyachal, you've done something for me. It doesn't mean that God benefits from it. But God is giving man the opportunity to give to him with a capital H. That's the Yesod, which the Ramban describes as the Yesod Gadol of L'shachli B'solchachem, that the ultimate goal is for Hashem to give us such a hatova, such a chesed, that it's as if he's receiving something from us. And that's the greatest hanah. If a woman gives a gift to an Adam Chashev and he receives it, she benefits enormously by the fact that he received the gift. Yeah, Hashem could say to man, I don't need your avoda, I don't need your dedication, your service, it's worthless. What does it mean for me? And therefore, all of what we do is meaningless. But Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to receive it. You know, at some level, God Kilu is makabel, our avoda, our mitzvahs, our tilos, v'tishpachos, and at that point, it's as if an Adam Chashuv, of course, you multiply that a million times over, right, ad infinitum, has received our gift. And that's the greatest hanah, the greatest benefit that we can have, is that God says, as if you gave me something, I'll receive it. And that is, in effect, the greatest chesed that Hashem does for us, that He accepts and receives our avoda. We build a mishkan, and Hashem says that that's the purpose. It's as if you built me an abode. What do you mean, God needs an abode? But the answer is, man needs the abode. Man needs all the mitzvahs. But Hashem says, it's as if you gave it to me, and therefore I received it. And when Hashem receives it, then we get the greatest benefit that we could possibly get, that Hashem, so to speak, has nachas ruach, from a kaviyachal nachas ruach, from what we do, what we serve Him, and our dedication to Him. Okay then, so I think we'll just end off with a tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should continue giving to us, giving us the opportunity of smachos, the opportunity to do His mitzvahs, to fulfill His will, Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, that we have a God that receives our gifts, that's Machshiv our avoda, and we should be zochet to continue until we build the Mishkan, the Migdash, on the Har Bayis, b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen.